Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Also, follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Oh, man. You know, life's a dream. Every day is a great day to be alive. I like the emphasis on Bleeding Green Nation on that one, man. You're pushing that real hard for this pod.
Yeah, let's see if I can hit it even harder because we have a special guest with us today.
You got to hit it like John Burchard does on BGN Radio, man. You got to give it a full Bleeding Green Nation.
What's going on, Brandon Lee Gouton?
He's going to awesome. Hate you. He's going to hate you.
I don't hate it, man. I love it.
Brandon, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me here. It's not the most exciting week, but, you know, it's still a week, so there's that.
Yeah, we were talking about the show, saying this is kind of like after the home opener, the 61-yard win, walk-off from Jake Elliott, and then you come into this game against the Chargers. It's a game you feel like you should win. We're gonna get into it. It's not the most exciting and sexy of games, but let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your work, all that good stuff, Brandon.
Yeah, you can check me out at bleedinggreennation.com. You can check out our podcast at bgnradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at Brandon Gouton, BrandonGouton.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so we were talking before the show, talking about this matchup, saying it wasn't the sexiest. And I brought up that, look, it's a game we should win. And if we don't, it's a big disappointment. And even if we do, you probably end up seeing some things that are just going to make you feel dirty by the end of it. What is your expectation coming into this game, Brandon, for the Eagles?
Yeah, now I hear a lot of people saying already this, oh no, this is the trap game. And I think I get that from the perspective of the Eagles are coming off this big emotional win, but it's not like they played well in that game. To me, when I think of a trap game, I think of a situation where the Eagles would be playing so well, they're blowing out opponents, and then all of a sudden they have to go out to I was almost going to say San Diego. It's going to be so hard not to say San Diego. They go out to the Chargers, and there's really no juice for that matchup because it's out of conference. The Chargers are 0-3. There's just not a lot of intrigue in that matchup. So I'm not feeling like anything towards this one because of that. But at the same time, the Chargers are 0-3. I look at what they've been for the past couple of years, and it feels like their point differential has always been a little bit better than their record indicates. So I want to feel like they're a little like the Eagles shouldn't take them easily. I know they're 0-3, but they could have won. Some of these games were close here. At the same time, I talked to a Chargers writer for our Chargers SB Nation blog that's Bolts from the Blue, and they're not feeling good about this matchup at all. they think the Chargers are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, we know that experience. We brought on John Gennaro of Locked On Chargers, and he wasn't feeling it either. They're worried over there in Los Angeles. I think it's a really good point you bring up that, you know, this team is really two field goals away from 1-1 and an overtime matchup against the Broncos. You know, it's not they're not nearly as poor as the 0-3 record indicates. And I hear what you're saying when it comes to, you know, this not being a trap game, because it's not like the Eagles have been blowing folks out. They've got plenty of room to improve, and this is a young, hungry team. You know, I think Carson coming off of his first ever kind of come from behind fourth quarter victory is a big narrative for, I think he's going to come in hot. He's going to come in excited. I don't think he's taking this easy. I feel it might be a little bit more trap game-esque if there was some sort of home field advantage for Los Angeles. However, there's not at all. I mean, I don't have a schema for it. I haven't spent much time in NFL stadiums or in press boxes or anything like that. I know you have. What do you think really, like, how much wind is going to be taken out of the sails of Los Angeles Chargers playing in a 27,000-seat stadium?
I think that's really significant, too. I think that's something that, you know, you usually wouldn't give a lot of credit to, depending where the team is playing. It's not like a major thing you always think of, but in this specific situation, I don't know how many Chargers fans are even going to be there, because what the that whole situation is messed up. L.A. didn't want the Chargers. The Chargers aren't an L.A. team. They were only there 1 year before moving to San Diego, and then no one wanted them to move back. And now the Chargers fans, who wanted them to stay in San Diego, they don't want us to follow the team anymore. And when I was reading, they're pretty much rooting for the team now to actively fail. So it's like it's such a messy situation. We saw in week one there are a lot of Dolphins fans there at the StubHub Center. I think there's going to be a ton of Eagles fans at this game. So I think at best it's going to be, for the Chargers at best situation, it's going to be like a neutral field in this game. And I'm right there with you, Ben. I think this is a game where if it was a normal situation, you're playing in San Diego, I'd feel a little more worried about it. Mm-hmm. Because it's a neutral field and I just don't think the crowd is going to be a big factor at all, I feel a little better about the Eagles' chances just because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only real disadvantage comes from having to travel to the West Coast. Okay, so here's a question, Brandon. Melvin Gordon ran 17 times for 79 yards last week. They kind of got away from the run, though, pretty early. Which coach abandons the run quicker in this matchup?
I would think it wouldn't be Anthony Lynn. I mean, he's like Mr. Running, who's right. Running backs coach guy. I mean, Doug Peterson at least was a former quarterback. Of course he wants to throw the ball, so... I think this is another week for the Eagles to run the ball, because you look at this Chargers defense, I believe they're second to last in the league in total rushing yards allowed. So, the Giants are obviously weren't too great at that either. They had allowed a lot to Dallas.
They were 31st coming into our matchup.
Yeah,
so yeah.
The Lions. Yeah. So I think the Eagles attacked them there wisely. And I think that this could be another game where they do that. Obviously, Darren Sproles going down is killer, but Smallwood looked good. Blunt stepped up last week. You kind of want to see him get a little more involved. So I think the Eagles have every reason to stick with the run a little bit more than usual.
Yeah, and we were talking about RB snaps and who's going to replace Darren Sproles' snaps. The way I had it was it was just a slight bump for Blunt, Smallwood, and then a little bit bigger one for Clement. So over a game, I was saying that Blunt would get 24 snaps and the most carries, Smallwood would get 31 snaps, and Clement would get like 12 snaps, and then the rest is whatever. Who do you think gets the bigger bump from Sproles being out as far as snaps go on this offense?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a boost for everyone, just because they were getting four running backs involved even when Sproles was around, so everyone should get some kind of boost here. I think Smallwood is the main beneficiary just from being the direct replacement for Darren Sproles, third down running back, or at least he has the chance to. I don't think it's a guarantee, but I do think the opportunity will be there for him to try it out. And then if he doesn't perform, they're going to have to turn to Clement more or work something out there. Or go to everyone's favorite former Chargers running back now, Kendon Varner, who's back here. But I do think Blunt sees an uptick, and I do think Smallwood. I think those are the main two guys.
No, absolutely. And I think watching those running back snaps kind of suss out is going to be the really interesting thing moving forward for this offense. But talking more Carson Wentz now. Road games have not been very nice to Carson Wentz. He's got a pretty poor road career split as far as, only 2 wins and 7 losses. The Eagles tend to fall behind real early when they're playing on the road. 7 of the 9 games they've fallen behind, and 4 of the 7 games it's been by double digits before they've actually put up any points. Carson Wentz throws about 2 times as many interceptions on the road. He attempts about 100 more passes over his career he's attempted on the road. And so do you think that this narrative of Carson Wentz having this poor road winning streak, do you think that's something that maybe he can cure here starting, he had a road win against Washington, opportunity to get a road win against the Chargers, a couple more easy road games up on the schedule looking forward. Do you think he can maybe start to cure that as he gets older, or will it always be something where Wentz struggles whenever he travels?
Well, this might not be the best test of that, right? Because it's not even is it a true road game?
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
No, but seriously, though, I think the thing with Wentz lately, I know the team didn't do well on the road last year, so that definitely was a factor, and he needs to step up there. The thing with him, I guess, like the main thing with him, and I'm sure everyone, it's on everyone's mind, it's the deep ball. Like we just got to see that at some point. Like I think maybe it's just me. I would almost take the loss if I could just see like Carson Wentz hit like deep balls, and I'm like, all right, we just lost this game, but now he's going to be on with the deep ball the rest of the year. Weber, I just really got to see that. So if he can get that going and get some big plays and not fall behind on the road like they have at some of these places, I think that's what they really have to hope for this week. And they really got to get that thing going, because you just can't dink and dunk all game long or all season long. You got to get these explosive plays. You have the guys for it. Alshon can do it. Torrey Smith can do it. We even saw Nelson Agholor do it in week one. So they have the guys for it. This isn't like last year. It just has to happen now.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. BOOM.
Yeah, and we've talked about it at length on this show. Carson Wentz just seems to rush into his setup with those deep passes when he's scrambling out or whatever the case is. I know his foot slipped on one time, and then like he overcompensated or undercompensated the next time. It's teams are going to start squatting on things and make things difficult for us to work that short passing game until we show them we can hit the deep ball. All right, so before we get into some of the score predictions and a little more analysis, since you two guys work at Bleeding Green Nation, we're going to have an airing of grievances. Ben, tell me the most annoying thing that Brandon does.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you this. So as you kids probably know, I don't get emojis. I just don't understand them. I've never been able to use them well. When I was in high school, I didn't even have a phone that could use emojis, right? I'm old school. And so oftentimes I'll hit up Brandon and be like, yo, the post is in the drafts, man. And he'll send me back like like prayer hands, like the hands that are together. And I'm sure it means a good thing, right? I don't look at him like, yes, he's secretly telling me that I need to, like, you know, pay more attention to my spiritual life. I don't think so. I just don't know how to respond. I'm always like, you got it, man. Like, I'm just throwing out like colloquialisms and hoping one of them works. So that always concerns me. If I've ever snubbed you in the emoji front, Brandon, I apologize.
No, it's all good, man. My thing for Ben, and this is what I love about Ben too. He's so, like, he'll just tweet out like 30 tweets, and they're great. It's like this big long thread, but I'm like, dude, just do a post. Like, there's no character restriction or anything. So that's both my favorite thing and my airing of grievances.
That's so funny, because I can distinctly remember a couple of threads where you were like, hey, yo, would be a really interesting post, man. Like, super casual. Here's the thing. My posts are usually premeditated. I go, okay, I want to write about this. If I get like caught up in the moment, I don't have time, man. I don't have time. We're just going to flood Twitter with it. Here we go.
It's especially bad during draft season. You know, when Ben puts a poll out there saying, you know, who would you like a GIF thread on next? You know, that night you're going to be seeing Benjamin Solak at the top of your Twitter feed for like hours. So let's get into score predictions for this game. Brandon, since you're the special guest here, you get to go first, and we'll see if we agree or not. What's the final score? Who wins?
Awesome. So I was looking at this Chargers roster for a post I did on BGN about like which player would the Eagles take if they could pick any Chargers player. Like, do this every week, trying to just get a look at the other team's roster and see who's all around. And you know, Joey Bosa is really good, and I think Melvin Ingram obviously just won AFC Defensive Player of the Month. Mm-hmm. Melvin Gordon, I think, probably a little more talented than the numbers might indicate. But like, and you know, Keenan Allen's still there, and it's just like there's some guys, but there's not like a lot of great stuff going on there. I was just looking at this roster, and I was kind of like, this isn't the most enticing thing. So with that said, and the whole lack of home field advantage for the Chargers, I feel pretty decent about the Eagles' chances. I know, as we mentioned, the travel thing is definitely a factor. I don't want to underrate that, but I feel pretty good about the Eagles' chances in this one. I think it could be, I'm not going to say like a blow as in like 30-10, but I think it could be at least by, you know, like 10 or more. I'm going to play a little safe, going to be conservative. I'm not going to say Eagles win this game 24-20.
Oh, real quick, Brandon, if Marcus Johnson was one of the guys on the Chargers, would you pick him over all those other guys? I know you're a big fan.
Absolutely, I have to.
Boom. All right, Ben, go ahead.
Love Marcus Johnson. All right, here's my deal with just looking at this game and being concerned. My main concern is if the Eagles fall behind early and you let the Chargers tee off with their pass rushers with Ingram and Bosa, and you let them run the football a lot with Melvin Ingram, that's where you're going to get in trouble. And I think the only way the Eagles fall behind early is if Carson Wentz doesn't keep care of the football, which I know is a storyline I talk about a lot. But, you know, the interceptions on the road worry me. The fact that we've got two great pass rushers means that there's a lot more chances that Wentz is trying to do silly things in the pocket, and then you got fumbles, and that's my biggest concern. So with, like, the big caveat that the Eagles don't fall behind early here, this is the sort of game where if we're going to call the Eagles, you know, NFC East champions, like, you know, kind of in the driver's seat early and potential playoff contenders, this is a game they should win. They should be able to walk in there and for four quarters just outlast the Chargers. You know, this is a game they should win. So give me the Eagles. I don't think that they're going to put up as many points as we'd like to see. I think you're going to see a couple more field goals. So give it to me 2014, Eagles take the Chargers.
I like that score. I think it's going to be an uglier game than we would really like to see. We've got a tough match. It's almost similar to the Giants matchup where you've got Alshon going against Janoris Jenkins, and now he's going against Casey Hayward. That's going to be a tough matchup. Hayward is a very underrated player. They have a really nice pass rush. Hopefully Jason Peters continues to hold up for the most part. That would be beautiful instead of getting Halapuli Vatuvatai in there. Keep nailing that name, Ben. Thank you so much for teaching me the pronunciation.
Oh, absolutely. Anything for you.
I'm going to go, since it's going to be a little bit of an uglier game, Philip Rivers loves to play down 7 with less than 3 minutes to go. So we'll go 21-17 Eagles with a frantic late run from the Chargers. I think we get up early and then just kind of let them sneak back in the game, which is a totally Eagles thing to do. All right, so we all three of us have it for the Eagles, right?
Yes.
So
yes, sir.
We're going to be extremely disappointed on Monday if that's not the case. Like I said, man, none of those wins really excite me. Like it's just what we should go and do, but because it's on the road and we've had these road struggles, you never know, man. Some freak play can happen, and I don't know. What's the worst thing outside of injuries, Ben, do you think we see from this game?
I think the worst thing you could potentially see is Melvin Ingram rack it up on this defense. I think, like, with Fletcher Cox looking like he's not going to play for the next couple of weeks, and with a pretty good rushing attack you've got with Ingram, a lot of movement, a lot of power schemes, trap schemes, wham schemes, you know, all this sort of work. If Ingram can just run wild on the Eagles defense, not only will that make it very tough to win in Los Angeles, but then there's going to be a solid blueprint out for beating these Eagles as long as Cox is injured. So keeping Ingram contained will be helpful.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm worried about. If Ingram starts to go off and they get like a fumble with return for a touchdown, that's when the game starts to get crazy. All right, Brandon, what do you have? Worst thing that can happen outside of injuries?
Well, I think the worst thing has to do with the offensive line. And I can't take Ben's thing because I'm on the same page with him there.
Well, but okay, you got most of the questions first, so
it's all good. The left guard situation. To me, if we're messing around with Chance Wormack again in here, like, what are we doing? Like, get him out of there. We don't need him in there. He's not good. He is very bad, in fact. And I think they're going to keep Wiz in, so I'm not too worried about this. But if they do that again where it's some kind of rotation, it's so unnecessary. Just keep Wiz in there. He was playing well. The offense was playing well with him. I do think this is, again, going to be a tough matchup for the offensive line. So if the Eagles lose this game somehow, it is going to be because the Chargers pass rush is harassing Wentz and not the best thing for a quarterback when he's coming off this shaky performance against the Giants. Hopefully he can improve. But big game for Carson. We got to see it on the road. We got to see him connect with those deep balls. Hopefully he starts to do it.
Yeah, that was actually my thing. I think my worst thing would be is we fail to connect on a deep ball in this game, you know, along with the pass rush, obviously.
You've been living hell for the past month, haven't you, then? If the worst thing is we can't hit a deep ball.
I'm saying now it's starting to get to the point where we just got to hit one, man. That would be beautiful. All right, so Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. Let the people know one more time where they can find all your stuff.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. And if you want to read my work, you can check it out at bleedinggreennation.com. You can check out our podcast information at bgnradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gowton.
Ben, you have anything else for the gentle listeners?
Make sure you're reviewing and subscribing. We've got another round of PFF Edge subscriptions to give out on, you know, new week coming up. So when you join us for Monday to hear our victory recap and everything, got to leave those reviews.
We're going to start reading some of these reviews out to you guys as well, because some of them are absolutely hilarious, and I fully encourage you guys to one-up each other. So, look, to enter another chance to win a PFF Edge subscription on a weekly basis and find out how me and Ben recover from whatever the heck happens on Sunday, you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.